This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, January 9th, 2025, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or watching us on Facebook or YouTube. We appreciate you starting your Thursday morning right here. I got a question for you. Can I, here on the radio, recommend a TV show to you? And I'm only bringing this up because we just finished streaming this particular series. And I'm reminded of it because this morning, instead of my usual coffee mug, I reached for the Roy Kent one, where Roy Kent is just looking at you going, oi. I think that, Greg, did I do that right? Give me the Roy Kent oi from Ted Lasso.
Oi!
There it is. So there he is. That's Brett Goldstein on my mug. Close personal friend of Greg Bach. And he has a role in the Apple TV series Shrinking, with Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, Krista Miller, many others. And Sherry and I just finished the second season of it, and it is just a brilliant show. It's just brilliant. It is a comedy, but with lots of drama. It's written by Bill Lawrence, who I know best from Scrubs,
and Ted Lasso.
And so, yeah, when I saw the Roy Kent mug this morning, I was like, I should mention that, you know, recommend a show to folks, because we were really floundering looking for a new show to watch. And finally, we, you know, came upon Shrinking. And, you know, the first episode or two are kind of rough because it begins with the central character going through a major crisis. But then the show settles down and it's just fabulous. So I just wanted to get that out before I forget. So there's my recommendation. Mr. Bach, how are you this morning?
I'm doing peachy keen. You know, it was one when I got in. It's now seven. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, life is just handing me roses and diamonds.
Or single digits with the hope of someday seeing double digits. Yeah. It is 11 here in Chippewa, 12 in Hayward, 12 in Amory. Wausau's at 5. La Crosse 14, Wisconsin Rapids 7, Green Bay's at 8, Madison 12, Waukesha 7, and yes, you're the cold spot in Civic Media land. 4 degrees at Radio Park officially at Racine, and you said 7 there at the station?
Indeed.
Wow.
Indeed.
That's a little weird where you guys are the cool spot.
I know. I know true suffering right now.
I was going to say, try to accept your coolness. Try to live in the cool. You can join us along the way here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app to call the show or text the show. And, of course, you can put comments on Facebook or YouTube. Email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and our website, upnorthnewswi.com, is where you'll find Up North News from Courier Newsroom, a separate entity from Civic Media, but we are so thrilled to be part of the Civic Media team. Coming up on the program this morning, it's Thursday, so we will talk to Joe Zepecki about the new session of the Wisconsin legislature getting underway and some of the issues that they're tackling. And then we're going to talk to Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner in our second hour. And she has written a column pointing out that state Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel, Scott Walker's former attorney general, had some eye-catching things to say about the mob from January 6th that led to violence and the deaths of law enforcement officers and the near overthrow and assassination of members of the United States government. But apparently he thinks they deserve some kind of special treatment compared to what they got, which is what everybody else gets, is their day in court. So we'll talk to Ruth Conniff about that. Then at 7:30, back to the legislature with two legislators themselves, including the Assembly Democratic leader, Representative Greta Neubauer. She will be joining us, as will brand new state Senator Sarah Chieske. So both Senator Chieske and Representative Neubauer will be here, as will Luke Mathers as well. So much to cover on this very busy Thursday morning. And I'm going to start right out of the gate. We'll just keep the ball rolling on what they're talking about in the legislature here, because let's back up for a minute and remind you that the session began on Monday. Now, the biggest thing that will happen in a legislative session is passing a state budget. That budget bill is huge. It covers all kinds of areas, lists out your priorities. So from now until that happens in the next month, two, three, you know, most of the material will be kind of smaller, unless there's something big you want to come out of the gate with. And there's nothing wrong with coming out of the gate with something that's rather either bipartisan or just a really big priority of yours. It really shows where your heart is based on what you introduce first, that first bill, that first floor debate, that first committee hearing. So what did Republicans do in controlling the Assembly and the Senate? Did they work on health care? Did they work on gun safety? Did they work on fixing the inequity between public school funding and private voucher schools? Did they do anything about employment or the cost of eggs? No, none of those things. On day one, as the members had been sworn in and the families were there and they were, just everything was looking good and positive for a new session, Republicans put up a notice that there would be a committee hearing on day two, on Tuesday, with a floor session on day three, which was yesterday. And it was going to be about another amendment to the state constitution so that they could get around Governor Evers and his veto and put up a referendum that would put into the constitution the requirement for voter ID. Now, voter ID, as I discussed with Todd Alba on his show yesterday, you know, it has its pros and cons in the argument. Are you securing that only actual voters can vote and that there isn't a problem with fraud or identity theft? That certainly seems to make sense, except there isn't any. There has not ever been substantial fraud because much like, you know, nobody checks your mail before you stick it in the mailbox to make sure that you're not committing mail fraud. But if you commit mail fraud, you face a big penalty. Similarly, for years and years and years, you'd vote. You'd say who you are. You'd vote. If it was discovered that you were committing voter fraud, there were penalties to be paid. Things were working. But if you can try to get a whole bunch of people to not vote, people who typically don't vote for you, well, maybe you come up with ways to do that. And Todd Alba knows about this firsthand. Todd Alba was literally in the room when it happened as a staffer for legislative Republicans on that fateful session more than a decade ago now, where Republicans put voter ID in place expressly to suppress the votes of people who typically vote Democratic, people who may not drive, so they don't have a driver's license, people who may live in poorer neighborhoods, they can't afford a car, they can't afford to jump through the hoops to get a license, but they're also hurting the very old who can't get to birth certificates, and people in rural areas who can't get to a DMV office because there isn't one close by. They didn't care. They said as much in the room that they were interested in suppressing votes. And Todd Alba actually testified in court about that. And you're going to hear that referenced in this first soundbite from yesterday when a Senate committee, or I'm sorry, on the Senate floor, they talked about this, both on committee and in the floor. And this is Madison Senator Kelda Royce saying to her Republican colleagues, this is what you're doing first, right out of the gate.
It's really disappointing to see the misplaced priorities of the majority party that in the wake of the incredible tragedy in my district at a school, just a few weeks ago that we're making it harder to vote than it is to buy a gun in this country. The right to vote is fundamental, and we should be looking for ways to make it easier and less complicated so that more people can participate. What this bill does is it puts into the Constitution a discriminatory law that was in its purpose and in its conception intended to suppress votes of groups that were not favored by the Republicans in the majority at that time. That's not my conjecture. That's not liberal publications. That is sworn testimony in court from Republicans who were in the room when the initial voter ID law was passed, that they were giddy and frothing at the mouth at the prospect of Democrats being unable to win because Democratic voters would be disproportionately affected.
Again, not conjecture. Nobody's jumping to conclusions. That's what Republican lawmakers actually said when they didn't think anybody would tell people outside the room what they were talking about. In this next clip, which would be from, again, a committee hearing, you're going to hear from Representative Pat Snyder, one of the co-sponsors, I believe, of the measure. He was being questioned by Democratic Representative Lee Snodgrass, saying, you know, where is this coming from? Again, where are your priorities when there really isn't an issue? Listen to what Pat Snyder says, and then you'll hear some of what Representative Snodgrass says, but I'm going to tell you what I think should be said instead. Let's hear from Representatives Snyder and Snodgrass.
There has not been a significant increase or reduction in voter fraud. So,
well, then, you know, the integrity, the voter confidence is down. Voter confidence is down.
Yeah.
And why would that be? Because of all the things that happened in 2016 and 2020, I mean, people don't have confidence.
Well, I would argue that some of the lack of confidence is because there have been people essentially sharing false information about voter fraud.
There. So there's how Lee Snodgrass very politely responded. Start it again. Let's hear Pat Snyder, and then I'm going to jump in with what I would have said if I were on that panel. Can you hit that again?
There has not been a significant increase or reduction in voter fraud. So,
well, then, you know, the integrity, the voter confidence is down. Voter confidence is down.
Yeah.
Because
and
of you.
Why would that be? Because of all the things that happened in 2016 and 2020.
No, I mean, stop right there, Pat Snyder. Nothing happened in 2016 and 2020 except you and others lying about it. You undermined confidence in elections. It wasn't fraud that was doing it. And that's why you're pushing forward on this bill. We'll talk more about it and have a little sports on the other side of this break, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It was on this day in 1968 that the Beatles scored their 11th number one album with Magical Mystery Tour. It would be the number one album for 8 weeks back then, 57 years ago, including the Magical Mystery Tour title track. And of course, Here I Am the Walrus, Fool on the Hill, Penny Lane, and so much more. We'll have today's history lesson coming up in just under a half hour here on Up North News Radio. Those bus stop temperatures, 8 degrees here in Chippewa Falls, 2 degrees in Hayward. It's 1 below in Amory. Wausau is at 11 degrees right now, La Crosse 10. Wisconsin Rapids is at 10 degrees. Green Bay 24, Madison 18, Waukesha 19. And at Radio Park in Racine, where Greg is, it is 24 degrees right now. You can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. Today's a special edition of the newsletter. Just two little items, both of them from me. One of them looking ahead to the legislative session and whether Republicans with a smaller majority might do something with a $4 billion surplus that's more useful to more Wisconsin residents. But we kick things off by talking about the anniversary of the insurrection and also our own fifth anniversary here at Up North News. Coincidentally, it was 5 years ago. January 6th was a Monday as well, back in 2020. And it was our first day that we'd actually gone live in the closing couple of months of 2019. We were planning a website and a newsletter and maybe some social media posts. And it has grown so much more from there, to the videos that we do, to a presence on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and everything else. We have a national team that's contributing, freelance writers, photographers over the years who have contributed to what we put out as well. It was all started 5 years ago with a very simple mission, and that was to increase civic engagement. We had seen far too often that in Wisconsin and in other states, more and more newspapers were shutting down. Fewer local papers and fewer local TV stations were covering their state legislatures. They were following, you know, the big shiny national headlines, but weren't letting enough folks know that what happens in Madison truly matters more than most people think when it comes to support for our public schools and whether we have clean air and water and the conditions that our roads are in. And of course, the social issues that could come up in our state capitals as well. And so that was part of our early mission, along with a heavy dose of stories about what makes Wisconsin such a great place to live. Because we can't underscore enough the whole reason that we do so much to fight for Wisconsin through a political lens is because we love living here so much for a host of other reasons. Some of them rooted in our cities, some of them rooted in our rural areas. And to help all sides of the state appreciate one another, that more people in Milwaukee appreciate what happens up north and that more folks up north appreciate what happens in Madison, Milwaukee, and elsewhere. Well, along comes our first anniversary, and we've gotten through an election, and Joe Biden has been elected, but the outgoing president, Donald Trump, is casting doubts on that by lying about non-existent voter fraud. And it culminated 4 years ago today, on our first anniversary, on January 6th of 2021. And it is still numbing enough to think about what happened that day, to be watching it on my TV here, and at some point saying, okay, we've got to get to work now telling our audience about this. This is truly serious. And we're watching invaders. We're watching a mob in the halls of Congress of the United States of America. And Congress has had to leave, go underground and evacuate, because we're watching police officers getting beaten. We're watching police officers getting tear gassed. We're watching them getting pummeled with American flag poles. We're watching Trump campaign flags go up across the United States Capitol. And in the aftermath of that, most folks rightly understood and condemned Donald Trump for his role in instigating this mob and calling them to D.C. and then telling them to go to the Capitol and to, quote, fight like hell. Now, even back then, there were signs that there were people that still did not appreciate the damage that had been wrought. Even in the aftermath of the insurrection, two congressmen from Wisconsin, Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald, voted to actually object to the certified vote totals of two of the states as the roll was called and the electoral votes were read. Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald voted, if they had had their way, to nullify the will of the voters in those two states. And Tom Tiffany, prior to that, had signed on as a supporter of a lawsuit by folks in Texas that also would have negated the will of his own voters in the state of Wisconsin. And in the weeks leading up to January 6th, Ron Johnson held a series of hearings, essentially turning his congressional committee into a three-ring circus of conspiracy theories, all of which led to that violent mob that God only knows could have done what had they had just a little bit more leeway, had they had just a few more people, had there been just a few more folks willing to engage in the violence that others were egging them on to do. And so for that, you know, Ron Johnson, Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald, all should have had the honor to resign or to be booted from Congress. That hasn't happened. The voters returned Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald and now Donald Trump. They're all there. They're all coming back. And on our fifth anniversary, it only rededicates us to our mission to continue to expose what is as anti-American as this sentiment gets, to be opposed to democracy, to want to undermine the will of the voters, and to allow an authoritarian who this week will be re-adjudicated as a convicted felon to become president. There's no time to walk away. This is a time to continue to watch and to expose and to talk to voters and help them understand who's really working for them and who says they are, but their actions belie something entirely different. We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys is 47 today. You can get our history lesson every morning, Monday through Friday at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Tomorrow on the program, we would normally talk to Kiev Akil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. Regular listeners know that he's based in Los Angeles, and things are very crazy there right now and tragic. And Kia is among those who has had to evacuate, so Kia will not be able to join us tomorrow. A couple of our other Courier Newsroom colleagues will be joining me, including Isabel Swasson from Iowa Starting Line, who writes for the Courier Newsroom national team. And also my colleague in North Carolina, Billy Ball, from the Cardinal and Pine. And we've talked briefly about this, but I'm going to ask Billy more about how the North Carolina Supreme Court election may be on the verge of getting hijacked by conservatives and a Trump-appointed judge who may be poised to throw out tens of thousands of legal votes on a technicality so that the conservative candidate could win a seat on the North Carolina Supreme Court, a real true case of election theft in the making. And we'll talk about that tomorrow morning at 6:30 here on Up North News Radio. But right now, I'm very thrilled to be joined by the Assembly Democratic leader, Greta Neubauer of the Racine area, and brand new state senator, Sarah Kieske of Lodi. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
So nice to have both of you here. We're going to spend a lot of our Thursdays, we hope, talking to a pair of legislators, one from the Senate, one from the Assembly. It's my way of bridging the divide, not between Republican and Democrat, but between Senate and Assembly, because as we know, and Greta, you've been in the legislature long enough to know that sometimes caucuses of the same party between the Assembly and the Senate could use a little bridging now and then, a little more togetherness, wouldn't you say?
Oh, we're getting along great, Pat.
It's day four.
We're ready to go.
How many times I got accused of having senitude by assembly members? It's a word down there in the Capitol. Believe me.
Watch out, Sarah. Watch out.
Yep. That's right.
Things to know.
Sarah, congratulations on your win. It was fun talking to you a couple of times as a candidate. How are things so far this first week?
Well, thanks so much for having me on here. I'm so excited. I am over the moon. It's really hard to describe how exciting this is, how grateful I am to be here, how eager I am to get to work, and how proud I am to be representing my district.
And Representative Neubauer, do you have a caucus that now has a majority of new members?
Yes, we do. 23 new members, 22 continuing members.
That's really something. But that's got to be exciting in its own way for the veterans, as you would say, to see all of these new faces, all of this new blood. It's not that you don't miss the folks who aren't there anymore, but this has got to be kind of a rush for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we, of course, had some great folks who chose to retire this year, went on to run for other things. And we have 23 new people who are so excited to be in the legislature. They worked really hard in primaries, in tough purple districts, in many cases, to get here. They come from all parts of the state. They have diverse professional, personal backgrounds, bring great experience, and we're just thrilled to have them joining, especially in a new era where the margins have tightened, right, between Democrats and Republicans in the Assembly and Senate, and we're really hoping for a shift in the way things work in the Capitol.
Well, that would sure be nice, but that was certainly not the rhetoric that we heard from Speaker Robin Voss and from Senate Republican Leader Devin Lemahieu, whose opening speeches were extremely partisan in my view. But I think they're trying to help unify a smaller Republican majority. But as I understand correctly, Leader Neubauer, even though the Republicans no longer have near supermajorities in the Assembly and in the Senate, am I hearing right that they're trying to basically give themselves supermajorities on committees?
Yes. So they removed a number of committee positions for Assembly Democrats going into this year. That was, of course, extremely disappointing because we picked up 10 seats and somehow have less spots on most of the important committees going into this year. Speaker Voss would like things to stay the same. He's enjoyed the power that he's had under the gerrymander, and I think he is going to continue to act like he has 2/3 almost of the chamber until he can't. Yeah. And I do think that his members are going to start pushing back if they refuse to take up popular policy and if they keep acting like they don't need to listen to voters from both sides of the aisle.
Right. And that no doubt led to what the governor proposed at the start of the week with citizen initiative and referendum for constitutional amendments. And we may get back to that in this segment. But Senator Kieske, let me ask you a bit about your own goals, priorities, expectations. Now that, the rush of the inauguration is past, what is it that you'd like to get down to work and do?
Well, I'll say that after working so hard to get elected, it has been a gap of time, these 2 months, where I've just been so eager to get in and to get to work. And so I couldn't be more excited to have our first session day yesterday. And I will continue to advocate for the things that have been my priorities along the campaign trail, including K-12, public education, our rural communities, and of course, mental health, because I'm a mental health provider, and that's been a primary focus of mine for my whole adult life. I've been honored to be put on the committees for mental health, substance abuse, and families, for agriculture, and for education. And so my goal is to be a really active member on each of those committees, to learn all I can, and to be a voice of hopefully some compromise, some change, and some advocacy for things that we really need to see happen and that we heard at each of the doors. Oftentimes, one of these issues was commonplace when I worked all across the district.
I was going to say, it wasn't just, if you weren't hearing about a specific issue, you were hearing the specific message of working together better, I'm sure.
Oh, constantly. I mean, one of the things that was pivotal for people that wanted to vote. They wanted to see a change. They wanted to see people work together. They wanted to see us get things done. And I'll be honest, that's one of the things that, I've lived my life being very proactive. And I've been a busy person. I have 6 kids. I've managed jobs, multiple jobs at the same time. And so all I want to do is be productive. And it's been disappointing a bit to see some of the barriers to that productivity, starting out even including like the schedule that we were supposed to vote in. I voted against because we don't work nearly enough in the second year of our term because of the upcoming elections each 2 years. And so I'm hopeful, again, to get to work and to be listening to and fulfilling my obligation to my constituents, which is work hard, work together, get things done.
Exactly. The working hard part appeared to be missing from that schedule, Representative Neubauer, that so many Democrats did vote against it because we have joked in past years, in 2024, 2022, 2020, about Republicans putting the legislature on roughly a 9-month paid vacation. They just went ahead and baked that into the calendar for 2026, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a member who has served in the assembly for quite some time, Chris Nicky, who reminded us that they used to legislate into May. And yeah. Since I've been here, it's pretty much February. We're done with our work in the Capitol and everybody is back home campaigning. And really, that's not how the legislature is supposed to work. We're paid full time for 2 years. And often at the end of session in February, we're rushing through over 100 bills, not able to really give them real consideration. And of course, there are new challenges that come up. So we should work harder. We should work more days. We should work longer into the second year. We got elected to do a job and we should do it.
Yeah, because again, it's a full time salary, and yet from the cuts that we played in our last hour, from Representative Snodgrass, from Senator Smith, from Senator Royce, what they chose to work on for day 2 and day 3 was ramming through this constitutional amendment on voter ID. So we already heard a couple of sound bites about it, Representative Neubauer, but I want you to weigh in as well that of all the things that Republicans could have worked on, this was one of the first things on the docket.
Yeah, you know, I'll note, Sarah just mentioned, there are a lot of issues that came up on the campaign trail. I knocked on doors in my own district and knocked on doors in every competitive assembly district over the last year. And you know what I didn't hear one time? I want you to take that state law on voter ID and put that into the Wisconsin Constitution. I heard about addressing costs for working families, about education, the environment, supporting our kids and our elderly folks, right? There are a lot of important issues that the people of Wisconsin have asked us to address. This is just not one of them.
No, and I understand the timeline. They want to rush this through and get this on the April ballot when there's also the state Supreme Court election, the state superintendent election, and everything else. But again, it just says so much about the priorities. Senator Kieske, let me ask you, and it's one thing to talk to leadership, and you understand why leadership, sets the agendas that they set. But then there's the rank and file members, and I wonder if already in these early phases, have you struck up some conversations, I won't say friendships because it's still early, but some conversations with some of your Republican colleagues that you think might lead to some of these, bipartisan initiatives?
Well, let me say I have introduced myself to them and extended a hand. I also had a meeting with the assembly member that is a Republican in my district, along with, of course, knowing the other two assembly members that are Democrats and working well with them. His name is Tony Kurtz, and we had a meeting in my office. Again, really wanting to start off with the foot of bipartisanship, asking that he and I can work together. We have the same constituents. We want to do good work. I believe that that's why he's in the legislature too. And so I ask that whatever his priorities are, share them with me. Let's make sure that we work together as much as we possibly can. I understand we will disagree on some things, but we certainly can agree on much more than we disagree on. And my hope is that he takes me at my word and will work really hard to keep our offices in connection.
You've certainly made the effort, and Greta, I know the same happens over on the assembly side, but it feels different. You know, it does not feel as congenial as it was in days gone by. I'm not asking you to psychoanalyze, you know, some of your colleagues, but I think you share that assessment that there's definitely room for improvement in terms of improved relations between across the aisle, shall we say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the reality is that we just picked up a lot of seats, right? We got fair maps in Wisconsin, which many of us have been working on for a decade. And it changed things in the legislature. We've got a lot more people who are in very competitive districts, both Democrats and Republicans, who have to look over both shoulders, be responsive to their constituents. Republicans aren't really happy about this new reality. I hope that they will settle in. I hope that they will remember that they are sent here by their constituents to work hard on their behalf and to get things done, right, to address the pressing challenges facing the state of Wisconsin. But I think everyone is getting used to a new status quo of a closer legislature, a more accountable legislature, and not everybody's happy about that.
No, but, you know, there are things that you're going to have to jump into with the budget. There's certainly going to be discussion about a tax cut, how you tailor it exactly to the middle class. Maybe that can be a win-win. Maybe not so much Badger Care Medicaid expansion, but maybe at least postpartum expansion.
One would hope.
Maybe special education funding, that disparity between voucher schools and public schools. What we're trying to let people know is there's definitely room there for some win-wins if some more of your colleagues are willing to not march in lockstep.
Absolutely. And we've seen that, right? We've seen those Republican members out on the campaign trail talking about those same issues. My opponent had postpartum on a mailer. So I hope that those members will push back against their leadership and will make clear that their constituents want them to pass popular policy that will improve their lives.
Well, keep the welcome mat out for them, that they're always welcome to talk with you and potentially vote with you on things that, again, the vast majority of Wisconsinites want. Democratic leader Greta Neubauer from the Assembly, new state senator Sarah Kieske, thank you both so much. Great to talk to you. Take care now.
Thank you.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll wrap things up with Luke Mathers here on Up North News Radio next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
She was looking kind of dumb with a finger and a thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop 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 coming and they don't.
Luke Mathers is here, but there's actually a story by Greg Bach about this particular version of a Smash Mouth song.
So at the club,
by the way, this goes on for 10 minutes, in case you're wondering. Yeah.
When at the club, when we want to be done with the evening because people are standing around talking and not drinking and buying things and keeping our lights on, please come to the Laughing Tap. And when we want to close down shop because we're not a 2 a.m. bar, we'll play this song and it'll play for about a minute and a half. And people will be like, and then they'll be like, What is this?
You can bring it back up. Yeah.
He's still going.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, it drives you away. But anyway.
Yeah.
It takes a full 90 seconds for the patrons at the Laughing Tap
because,
to recognize that.
Because they're sitting there with their drinks and they're talking to their friends. Yeah. And they're bopping their heads. And then the repetition starts to bore into their ear hole, and then they're like, we got to go right now. And then I start turning up louder and louder and louder.
By the way, all this in honor of Steve Harwell from Smash Mouth, the late Steve Harwell, who was born this day in 1967. Mr. Mathers, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, Mr. Krylo. Happy New Year, Mr. Bach. Doing well. I saw Smash Mouth Bratfest. Dane County's, you know, I believe world's largest Bratfest over Memorial Day weekend a number of years back, and it was an interesting show. I believe he was like yelling.
That's what happened towards the end. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Again, yeah. That's, you know, when you when you die at age 56 from being a rock and roll star, there's adventure along the path here. Let's see. We've got a few comments that I wanted to share. This one from Greg. Yay, Greg W. Yay, Bucks won finally, which is going to make Mr. Mathers happy here. Two in a row.
Yeah, I was a little bummed that, yeah, it was two in a row. I was a little bummed that it was an 8:30 p.m. start last night. I'm not a big fan of the late. They were home too. They weren't even on the West Coast.
I know, but it's TV. You gotta do what TV wants. Greg also added on there. Pat and Greg, you both are looking mighty fine this morning from this blind guy's perspective.
Okay? Thanks, Greg.
Thanks. Brian on Facebook writes, "No bias here from former Dem legislator Pat Kreitlow." Shh, Brian, don't out me. Nobody else knows that I was a former Democratic legislator. You caught me. You cracked the code on this. And also from Eric and Tosa on the text line about Joe Sopecki earlier saying, please stop saying voters aren't responsible for this. If we keep letting the people who elected this guy off the hook, we're never going to evolve. And on it goes about the voters. But Luke, you and I know we've talked to enough elected officials and people in Joe Sopecki's position that it's the candidates who are not going to gain any ground by saying, well, the voters are dumb or something like that. You've got to win the votes back, and calling voters dumb doesn't tend to win them back. Now, that's not to say that the voters can't be called to account. I would get yelled at a lot at the TV station for yelling at people. You might find that hard to believe, Luke, but I used to yell at people a lot.
People on the television not talking about things I know.
And my response was always, if you don't want to be yelled at for doing something stupid, don't do something stupid. Yeah. There, so I can have that conversation from time to time, but really, you know, Luke, from our standpoint at Civic Media, it's like, look, we could sit here all day and go, oh, you guys are dummies who voted this way. It's like, no, we've got to talk about the issues in the here and now.
We absolutely have to be talking about the issues. It is strange, though, Pat, because it seems that some people can get away with calling voters dumb. Or there's a separate set of rules,
yes,
for depending on which voters you're talking about. Because if Democrats talked about the middle-of-the-road moderate voters or conservative voters, the way that conservatives and Republican elected officials talk about Democratic voters, you would see people like lighting their hair on fire, because it is insane the double standard that exists, the way that Republican lawmakers can use cities like Milwaukee or New York or LA as political dog whistles to indicate one thing, where you all of a sudden see a different set of rules that everybody else has to deal.
And that's what I think is important. What you're doing and what we're doing is you point out the double standard. We don't say, well, let's just call all rural people, you know, dumb. It's like, no. How about if we point out how wrong it is to call Milwaukee dumb or wrong? And especially
if you're
using it as coded language. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's the fact that we're all dealing with different political verbiage and how we go forward talking to people in this really highly siloed media landscape.
Right.
But it is important, I think, to be talking to everybody and meeting them where they are. And so that does look differently depending on who you're talking to. And there's different standards when it comes to who's doing the talking.
Right. So if you can have a good back and forth with folks, then you're going to attract people from all parts of the spectrum to listen to you. Now, Tony notes on YouTube, it is hard to hold voters accountable when the elections are about different issues than what the politicians actually do. But again, that's what we're talking about here. We're not going to focus all day on President Trump trying to acquire Greenland. We're going to point out that he's talking about that because he's not taking action on the price of groceries and everything else, which is part of what you know, part of what we want to do on all of these shows that Mr. Mathers arranges for us, except that he appears to be stuck in traffic right now. But hopefully they let
I'm safe in a parking lot. The car isn't parked. Don't worry.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody's circling back. It's a week of circling back, and I could not be in a studio.
Okay. So you can confirm the keys to the building still work for you.
That's
okay,
correct.
they let you in. That's the important part. Mr. Mathers, thank you. Have a great day.
Always a pleasure.
Mr. Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air, and thanks to all of you for joining us for Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.